Hey everyone, welcome to the Pot Awareness Podcast, and thanks for joining me. This podcast is specifically for about educating and raising awareness for animals and rescues and organizations across the United States and world. It really goes a long way towards this mission when our listeners rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and all of our other podcast platforms. Also, be sure to check us out on our official website at pawawareness.org and on social media at TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at pawawareness_podcast. You can check us out for all of our latest bits and clips of our podcast, as well as Pet of the Week and Pet of the Month. If you're listening and involved with an animal rescue organization or have a story of your own that you want to share, reach out to us at info@pawawareness.org and we can get you on the podcast. Thanks for watching, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hey everyone, welcome to the Paw Awareness Podcast. Today I'm sitting down with Catherine Moore with the Tuscaloosa Metro Animal Shelter. And I just want to thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for coming on. It's great having you. But go ahead and just tell us a little bit about your organization and yourself.
Okay, so I am the Office and Programs Manager with Tuscaloosa Metro Animal Shelter. We are in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, so we're down in the south of all the heartworms and all the overpopulation, but we have some great animals here. We are a 501k nonprofit here in the city of Tuscaloosa, but we deal with three separate entities. So we take in all the animals from Tuscaloosa City, Tuscaloosa County, and Northport Animal Control. So we are very overwhelmed here.
And what's that like for someone who isn't familiar with a rescue in Alabama? Like, what are some issues that you're seeing a lot of?
The biggest issue probably with us is overpopulation. I think that's everyone's biggest issue, but with ours, it's more of people not understanding the importance of spaying and neutering your animal. A shelter shouldn't be your first opportunity, or first thing that you think about whenever you have a missing animal or an animal you can no longer take care of. So biggest thing with us is just to educate people on greatest things with spaying and neutering, and then different options you have with bringing them to the shelter.
And do you work with any shelters outside of the Alabama area at all? Like, do you ship animals anywhere or anything like that?
Yeah, so we have a rescue program here, and we actually do a monthly to about 6 weeks. Every 6 weeks or so, we ship up to a shelter in Pennsylvania. We partner with them and kind of pick up a couple along the way type thing. And we also, of course, partner with local rescues and things like that as well. Anyone who wants to partner, definitely reach out to us, because we are welcoming any type of partner with rescue. We have a rescue vehicle we call Marv that we use for transports, but also events and stuff like that too.
That's cool. And how big is your organization? And I'm just really curious about that.
Yeah, so we have a new add-on recently, about 2 years ago, but we have 180 kennels in one section. That doesn't count our cats. And then we have about 30 over in our new building, which honestly was more of like an office add-on, so we could separate our office staff from our kennels. We are completely slammed.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And for anyone who isn't familiar with Tuscaloosa, how big is the city and how do you get the animals that come into the shelter?
So Tuscaloosa, and I'm recently, like, I've only been here for about 5 years, but even I can't believe how big Tuscaloosa is. It's a huge county. We get animals in from the shelter from animal control mainly, because we actually have had to stop taking animals in from citizens because we stay so full. We can't really say no to animal control, because we have that contract with them. So we do take animals in through three different types of animal controls. And then we do owner surrenders, but those stay booked out by appointment only for months.
Yeah, and that's a good point too, that you work with, you know, you kind of have this agreement with animal control. So where do the people that have the animals, are they just taking their the animals to other shelters, or what's that like?
Well, we're the only shelter in Tuscaloosa. There are local rescues and stuff that can help, but a lot of times they stay full too. So we do have different programs that we use. There is a program called Home to Home. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but it's an organization online. And we actually, if someone wants to surrender an animal to us, we actually require that they do this beforehand. They're able to post their animal with along with pictures, descriptions, if they get along with other dogs, et cetera, on there. And it keeps the animal from coming into the shelter environment. It helps with stress, because as soon as they get here, it's loud and noisy and scary. So it keeps them out of that shelter environment. And then it goes from home to home instead of home to shelter.
Gotcha. Okay, now that makes sense. And I want to know more too that, you know, I want to touch on spay and neuter. And I think for wherever you're at, it's always, I think awareness is just, it's part of the battle, right? Just like making sure that everyone knows. What's that like there? And what kind of educational, what are you guys doing like educationally to kind of like help spread that awareness?
Yeah. According to Alabama state law, we cannot adopt an animal out unless they are fixed. So spay and neutering is the reasons why shelters exist. Overpopulation is the reason why we're here. So we always like to try and educate people on the importance of that. We know puppies and kittens are cute, but we have too many of them already. We can't have, that's why a shelter exists. So we do partner with an Alabama spay and neuter clinic out that's in Birmingham, and we sell snippet tickets is what we call them through a subsidized program with them. We always try and reach out and make sure, even if we have to help with vet bills and things like that for an animal that keeps getting pregnant or an animal or even a male dog that has a bunch of girlfriends, we try and help that as well. So very important.
Yeah, it really is. And I want to know too, for you, how long have you worked in rescue, and what's one thing that you maybe wish you would have known or discovered in your journey in rescue?
Right. So I've only been with the shelter for about a year and a half. So animals have always grown up with them throughout my whole life. But I never really knew about heartworms, which is crazy to see, but I hear what we call the heartworm cough and things in the shelter now, and I think back to all my little animals when I was little, and I'm like, oh my god, I think these animals had heartworms. So it's great to know. For those of you who don't know, heartworms literally come from mosquitoes. So if they're not a preventative, I mean, look around, I have mosquito bites now. Mosquitoes are everywhere. So it's hard to it's so desperate and so important that animals stay on heartworm preventative, and we can help with things like that too if need be.
Yeah, I think that's something else that needs awareness, right? Is heartworm. Heartworms, and it's one of those things where I forget who I was talking to, and they said that it's worse in dogs than it is cats. The way I guess the biology set up or something like that. So, and then you mentioned mosquitoes, right? So that means I'm taking it that it's worse in humid areas where, you know, maybe areas that don't have as many mosquitoes probably aren't going to see as many heartworm cases, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah. So the South sees it a lot more than even the West sees it. They get other awful Lyme diseases and things like that. But here in the South, we get a lot of the heartworms just because it is so bad. The heat just breeds all of our mosquitoes, I think, and just makes it so much worse.
Agreed. Yeah. And I think I want to know too. So we've got, spay and neuter. We have, so lots of pets, heartworm. Are there any other issues that you're seeing in not only just Alabama, but in the southern counties at all? Is there anything else that comes to mind? And what can we do to help with that?
I think a really big issue, especially in the South, but everywhere really, is the bad rep that pit bulls have. We are literally probably 98% pit bulls.
Whoa.
Yeah, they're the best dogs ever, but they have a bad rep, and it's hard to adopt them out. There's a lot of talk about like pit bull bans and things like that, which is not the answer. The answer is spaying and neutering your animals and being responsible pet owners. I think people need to know that we have more bite suspects in small dogs than we do in pit bulls. It doesn't really matter the breed of a dog to make that dog a great dog.
Yeah, they're such sweet dogs. Like,
they really are.
God, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, just go out and spend one day with a pit bull and they are the sweetest dogs. Right. It's, you're right. They have a bad rap. And I think it's that type of like talking about it. It's stuff like this that hopefully gets people not to see otherwise.
Right.
And I want to know too, like, you know, I know in the South that there's this, you know, there's this animal rescue crisis that's going on. And it's just, you know, like a number of things, right, that we've already talked about, just lack of spay and neuter. And that's why you're working with organizations that are outside of your area. Do you have to be in the South to help? Like, is there something that, let's say, I could do? I'm in California, or do we have to be there, or is there something we can do from far away?
No, definitely not. I think the spread of awareness is the biggest help ever. I do a lot of running the social media here, and I have learned just even, like, we've had people adopt from, like, the Carolinas, I think is the farthest we've done, but we do adopt out to different states and foster. We foster locally, but that's obvious reasons. We can't foster out, but even if you have like local rescues in your area that are like, they have space and they have like, a lot of ours are foster based. So it just depends on like animals who are going to these foster homes for rescues. They're full too. So just depends on that. Spread the awareness, get the word out, let them know that, you know, the South rescues, we need help. Help us.
I think that's amazing. I think that's great. And I'm always tell people, it's, if you're traveling in the South and you get the chance to just even go in and see, you know, some of these amazing animals and people, I say, I'm always telling people to do it. So what are some things that you're excited about that your organization maybe has in the works that's working on? Is there anything that you're excited about, maybe even in the rescue community? What's going on there?
So we actually have, our programs are being built like so big from even the past year. But what I think I'm really excited about is that we're in the works of building a new NICU. And that will help a lot with puppy and kitten season. We're always overwhelmed, I feel like. I mean, just today we're posting, I think we have 5 mama cats and babies in our facility. So it'll help with things like that. But the NICU will be able to save a lot more too. For some reason, baby kittens are like the hardest thing to save, no matter how hard and our hearts are in it. So that'll help with that too.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I'm excited to see and follow along more about that, which leads me into, where can we all follow you guys and where are you guys at on your social media?
Yeah, so like I said, I am really big into our social media. I think it's one of the best ways to get the word out. When people see what's going on, they tend to help more. So we're really big on Facebook, of course. We have a couple pages for Facebook, including just our main page for Tuscaloosa Metro Animal Shelter, and we have a foster page as well, and also a rescue. But we're also really big on Instagram. You can do a lot more on Instagram, I feel like. We get the younger face on there, so... and we're actually trying to, I hate to say it because I didn't want to get in the trend, but we're starting TikTok.
I think it's a good idea. I think there's so many. Everyone's there. Yeah, it's a party.
Yeah, so we're trying to get that built up. It is just really hard. Staffing is an issue as well. So trying to get out and get those videos and get those dogs outside, and because they don't want to see them in a kennel, which is what we've known too, is they want to see that dog out in an environment that isn't in the kennel sitting there looking sad, even though that does get the abuse too, but it doesn't get them adopted. So getting them out, and like, we have a happy hour program here, which lets people come and we call it adopt a dog for the day. they come out and rent that dog, and they can go out, and we encourage all the pictures and posting them on all platforms and things like that too.
That's really cool. And I'll leave that down below, all your guys' social media. Check them out if you're watching. Catherine, I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing a little bit about yourself and the organization. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, thank you.
Definitely. Okay.